Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hi guys, Jess here. Before we get you started, I just wanted to let you guys know there is a little bit of language in this show, so if you're driving around in the car and you got kids in the back seat, maybe throw on some headphones. All right, thanks for listening.
Hello, I'm Jess.
And I'm Andrew.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a podcast where I try to get Andrew to like musical theater more.
Mazel tov, mazel tov.
L'chaim. Gesundheit. So, with an intro like that, what could we possibly be covering this week, Andrew?
We're covering the most Jewish thing I've ever seen in my life.
What is it, Andrew?
Fiddler on the Roof.
Someone gotta get him off.
Someone should knock him down, push him over.
And how do we keep our balance? That I can tell you. In one word, tradition.
Tradition! 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 Tradition!
I want to throw out there that with my... remember we talked about this a little bit in the episode where I tried to guess what these were about?
Yeah.
The fiddler character is kind of a magical being in this, I'd say. So I think I was partially right.
I'd say he's more of a metaphor than anything else, but sure.
If you take him literally, then I was right.
All right. So Fiddler on the Roof.
Yes.
Fiddler on the Roof is a musical with music by Jerry Bock and lyrics by Sheldon Harnick, and a book by Joseph Stein. Set in Imperial Russia in 1905, it is based on Tevye and His Daughters, or Tevye the Dairyman, and other of the Sholem Aleichem, other tales. Other tales by Sholem Aleichem.
Sholem Aleichem. This is that whole episode. Just the whole episode's going to be this.
Us mispronouncing things that are being culturally uneducated, basically.
Look, can we just say right now that everything we're going to say that's pronounced Jewish is going to be terrible?
Except for Laser Wolf. All right, so the story of Fiddler on the Roof centers on Tevye, the father of five daughters, and his attempts to maintain his Jewish religious and cultural traditions as outside influences encroach on his family's lives. He must cope both with the strong-willed actions of his three oldest daughters, who wish to marry for love. Each one's choice of a husband moves further from the Jewish customs that he's so used to, and with the edict of the Tsar that evicts the Jews from their village. Spoilers alert.
Wow, you just ruined the whole thing in, like, the first 5 minutes.
Even if you know the ending of Fiddler on the Roof, it's not like it's going to ruin the entire experience for you.
It's true. It's not very story-driven, I wouldn't say.
It's character-driven, and it feels more like a sitcom, basically. It feels like a few episodes of a sitcom that happens to take place in Imperial Russia.
You say that about everything we watch. It feels like an episode of something. You said that about Falsettos, too.
I did say that about Falsettos. The original Broadway production of Fiddler on the Roof, which opened in 1964, had the first musical theater run in history to surpass 3,000 performances. Fiddler held the record for the longest-running Broadway musical for almost 10 years, until Grease surpassed its run. It remains the 16th longest-running show in Broadway history. The production was extraordinarily profitable and highly acclaimed. It won 9 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, Score, Book, Direction, and Choreography. It spawned 5 Broadway revivals and a highly successful 1971 film adaptation that won Best Picture, was nominated for a bunch of other Oscars. So this is a very well-known, well-respected, and well-loved musical. And do you think it's deservingly so?
Absolutely not. I'm just going to throw out there, I thought this was awful.
Hashtag, that's a problematic opinion.
Hashtag, I'm lying. That's the trailer for the episode, though. Cut there. No, I thought the whole thing was great. I loved it.
We're going to get t-shirt, buy our merch with that on there.
No, really, though. It was really good. It definitely earned its reputation.
It is one of those very rare, absolutely perfect Broadway shows where I literally could not change anything to make it better. It's 3 hours long, but it doesn't feel it. So, Andrew, when I first told you about Fiddler on the Roof and you started watching, your response was, "This is the most Jewish show I've ever seen." And that was just from the opening number. And yet, despite the fact that this is very drenched in Jewish tradition, and you and I are very much Gentiles, we're able to relate and understand the basic morals and quandaries within this show. Why do you think that is?
Well, they don't really go into how it's Jewish, really. It's just more of a... It's just about tradition, and that's it. They just use Judaism as a way to tell that story, basically, I think. So it's still relatable.
I mean, what makes it so universal? I mean, even when it first came out on Broadway, the way they promoted it was, you don't have to be Jewish to love Fiddler on the Roof. And it does have very, very specific Jewish things. Like, I don't understand the exact tradition of the Sabbath and how exactly it works, or the exact marriage explanation of how it works, the father's permission and all that. I had none of that coming in. And yet, without, like, outright explaining this is how it works, this is what you need, it conveys it very acutely and very specifically, like, so subtly that we don't even know that we were taught it.
I think it's tough to explain. I think it's just because you get into the characters' heads so much that you don't even notice that it's, like, these bizarre things that you don't know anything about.
I wouldn't call it bizarre, but just not our traditional values.
That's what bizarre means. Okay, maybe not.
I feel like this is relatable, especially in nowadays, like, the idea of one wanting to marry who they want, that specifically relates to, like, the last 10 years with the gay marriage and, like, interracial marriage and all that, and that's still going on today, where I worry if my father will accept us or give us the blessing despite this or that or that.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's something that is always going to be present, because there's never going to be a point where there's not someone who's going to break some sort of social norm.
Mm-hmm. And there will always be the sticklers that are, like, really hard to change on that.
Well, and I think that what is really interesting with this musical is that they don't look down fully on the people that aren't willing to change. They try to show you why they're not willing to change, and that sometimes they are willing to change.
Well, the thing is, Tevye, let's just go through the story. Tevye is our lead character, or at least our focal character, because I'm going to make arguments that he may not, in fact, be the lead. Ooh.
Well, I think you're just straight wrong. I mean, he's obviously the lead.
I mean,
okay.
In musical theater structure-wise.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Whatever you want.
He is the focal character, and we see him have to deal with the fact that his first daughter wants to choose her husband. Her second daughter isn't asking permission, but is asking a blessing, which he's no longer has input or control over his daughter. And he finally breaks down and disowns his third daughter when she decides she wants to convert to Christianity and marry a Christian boy. And we see him, and he is, compared to the rest of the city he lives in, one of the more liberal, forward-thinking idealists in the city. And even then, he's still very much in love with his faith. He's able to bend the rules and use the traditional things as a weapon sometimes.
But he's also, he's still very stern, and he's not always willing to change.
So, it is interesting. I find Tevye one of the best characters in musical theater history because of that specific duality of him, like, he wants to, he loves more than he doesn't, and he wants to adapt and grow and become better, but it's where he draws the line that shows the true measure of his belief system and traditional value.
It's a very, very nuanced story, really,
mm-hmm.
which I think is more interesting than something like say Rent, where they just take all these same sort of ideas and they just basically put it like, if you don't accept all this, you're just an asshole, and that's it. You know, it's more nuanced than that.
Like, even when Tevye disowns his like third eldest daughter, you're still kind of with him. Like, you understand, because we've had the preceding hours setting up his belief system where you're like, okay, I understand why that's where you're drawing the line. It's a shitty thing to do, especially in our modern context of just disowning your daughter, but you understand it.
Yeah, and almost to a point you can almost agree with him that, you know what, that is from where what he's coming from, it would be impossible for him to accept that.
Mm-hmm. And it's strange that while we see his wife, Golda, as the more strict one, or the one that's always on his ass about following this and following that, is the one willing to, like, bridge that gap. And I find that equally interesting.
I almost saw it as her not bridging the gap and just her putting her emotions beyond her, what would you call it, principles,
her
I guess?
Her faith, basically.
Yeah.
Like, she was willing to go to the church, the Christian church, to figure out what happened to her daughter. She cares more about her family than she does about her faith, where Tevye cares about his faith and then his family.
To an extent.
To an extent. But if it came between him, his relationship with God, and his relationship with his daughters, that is an interesting thing that I'm going to talk about when we come to If I Were a Rich Man. I think this story is amazing, universal, and very clear, concise, despite being 3 hours long and not feeling it. Like, you have everything sets up very well. You set up the Russian Christians in the town, and even they're very nuanced. Like, in the To Life sequence, when he and Laser Wolf are dancing at the bar, and the Christians see them, they could have very easily have just started a pogrom right there, and started being mean to the Jewish people on their happy day. But no, they join in and celebrate with them, revealing that they aren't just mustache-twirling meanies.
Yeah, which I think most stories would have went that way, where they're just like, oh, these are the bad guys. Now it's time to do their bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, most of the Christian characters with speaking lines are fairly kind. Fairly kind and understanding, and nuanced.
Yep.
Like, Fiedka is basically a prop, but he is nice.
Day and night must scramble for a living, feed the wife and children, say his daily prayers, and who has the right as master of the house to have the final word at home?
All right, let's talk about Tradition for a second. Because I think
Tradition!
Tradition is a brilliant song. All right? And one of the best opening numbers to any musical ever. Much like traditions themselves, they exist coinciding with one another as a society, weaving into one another like a woven basket, basically. And so the song acts as that as well. When we get the first verse, which is the papas, and all they have their very specific verse, and then the mamas, which is like,
who must know the way to make a proper home, a quiet home, a kosher home, who must raise a family and run the home, the papas free to read the holy book, the mama.
And they're very, very different lyrical pieces. And then at the end of the song, they all come together and they fit so well, despite being very, very different melodically.
Day and night must spread the sun of the king, the wife and children, say his daily prayers, and the right eye, master of the house, the right of the world, I hope.
And that is a description of the traditions of Anatevka altogether.
Yeah, it's very well written. And it just keeps coming back, too. It repeats all the time throughout the whole show.
And it's perfect. And it sums up the entire village, their belief system, and every single one of the characters and where they fit in so perfectly. You are ready for this beast of a show after that song's done.
I'm also a huge fan of Tevye talking to me.
In the show, he's like talking to you directly, but in the film adaptation, he's talking just beyond the camera. He's talking to a tennis ball right above the camera.
It's close enough, though. He's looking at me. You know, he knows I'm there.
I wish you would address us later on, too. Like,
no, I kept waiting for him to come back and talk to me again. But he's just like, no, I gotta talk to God. And I'm like, I'm God. You know, I'm close enough.
And in that first number, we get the description of a fiddler on the roof, which is basically a representation of why we need our traditions.
I feel like it's a really stretched metaphor, honestly, but, you know, they got the name for it from it, so.
I think it's an effective metaphor, at least in its use, especially when how it, like, follows Tevye around, and in the end, like, once again, Tevye's on his own pulling the cart. And the one thing that he's able to bring with him on his back is the traditions of the fiddler on the roof. And that's what he represents. That's the one thing he has left.
Was fiddler on a roof like a saying already? Or did they just make this up for this? Because it just seems like such a bizarre metaphor to just kind of pull out.
I think they made it up for this based on like a Jewish painting.
Okay. I could see that.
Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly. Now, let's talk about musical theater structure for a quick second.
All right, Jess, take it away.
All right, so in a given musical, the first song is the introduction number. It introduces you to the world and the leads. The second number is, more often than not, the I Want song, sung by the main character about what they want and their goal for the entire show. And then the third song is the conditional love song, which is, we have a complicated thing, but we're going to end up together in the end. So that is the basics of an opening of a musical. So we have tradition, which is the great opening number that sets up everyone. And instead of having If I Were a Rich Man as the second song is Matchmaker, sung by Tevye's three daughters about what they want.
Yeah. I don't think that makes the daughters the main characters, though.
Well, the thing is, they get what they want in the end. Tevye doesn't. He does not become a rich man. So Matchmaker is the I Want song, and we focus on these three characters as a collective, as them going in seeking out their goal. They are the only ones with an active goal in this. We want to be with someone that isn't terrible. We want to be able to choose who we get to be with.
Yeah.
Whereas Tevye doesn't really have a goal aside from make it through another day.
That's a pretty important goal, though. I'd say he also has the goal that he wants to hold on to his mm-hmm. traditions.
So Matchmaker is the setup, and then If I Were a Rich Man is about the one true relationship that is the love story in this. It is the Billy and Julie of this show. It is Tevye's relationship with God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That is the love story of Fiddler on a Roof.
And does he end up with God in the end?
He does. The fiddler comes with him.
It's true. That's true.
So Tevye has lost everything. He's lost his home. The icon of his entire homeland and all that. He's lost his daughters. One of them's going one direction, another one's going another direction, the other one's in Siberia. So he's lost them. And all he has left now is the tradition and his relationship with God, which will never leave his side, and comes with him to America where he goes after he's kicked out of his home.
Hmm. Yeah, so I guess he does end up with God. Although he was already with God also, so.
Yeah, but it gets complicated, especially after Zeidel's wedding.
Yes. It does get complicated. He has a rocky relationship with the big man.
which is like any romantic comedy. They're together, they have the second act breakup, and then they get back together. Despite all the shit thrown at both parties.
So are you saying that you think that the three daughters are the main characters just because they have the song in that spot?
They have the I Want song, and they get what they want. So I'm saying that they collectively are the main characters.
Wouldn't it be just easier to say that this particular song breaks the structure than it would be to say that these three characters that do not actually have that much time on the screen are the main characters?
I don't know, because collectively they have a good amount of time. They have a bunch of songs, collectively.
Do they?
I mean, we have Zeidel and Model's song, Miracle of Miracles. They have the Far From the Home I Love. We got Havala. We got Sunrise Sunset, which is basically a connection
but
to them.
Havala is Tevye.
Yes, but it's about her.
It's him singing about her, but it's not her song.
I mean, they have collectively a good amount of moments.
Tevye has way more.
Tevye is the focal character, but I'm not sure he is the lead, so to say.
I feel like those two are synonymous.
They aren't quite. They're close, but not always. They can often be different, because I consider the one with a clear goal, with an arc, and all that, as the lead central characters. And it's just fun
Tevye
to speculate.
Has that as well, though.
And it's just fun to speculate, too.
But Tevye also has a clear goal, and he definitely has an arc.
Does he, though?
And he... Yeah, he does.
I mean, yes, he has things that put him in a place there, and he doesn't begin, but he's basically the same person. He's not changed.
He definitely has changed. He's changed his mind on quite a few things.
Yes, but when it comes to the big thing that we are set up to, he is there. He is still steadfast. Even the last words he says to his daughter is kind of a backhanded compliment.
I'm trying to remember what he said.
Zeidel is trying to call out to Hava, and Tevye's like sarcastically whispering to Zeidel to say, God be with you. It's like, yeah, you've given up our God, so let him be with you still.
I guess. I mean,
there's a lot of different implications of that line. It depends on how it's said.
I don't think that means that he's not the lead just because of that. I don't know.
I love the Sabbath prayer sequence. Like, I think that's a fun scene that's, like, so emotionally gripping and so solemn. And it's just, it's based on an actual prayer. What did you think of that song?
I mean, it was, there was a lot going on, around that song. So it was definitely an interesting, like, cause they had the, like, basically the, geez, oh my goodness, I can't talk right now. Okay, they had the two men that both wanted the same daughter, and that was all.
No, they wanted different daughters.
What?
They wanted different daughters.
They did?
Yeah, they Model wanted Zeidel, and Perchik wanted Hoddle.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
No. Model and Laser Wolf both wanted the same daughter.
Gotcha. My bad.
And that was happening around the Sabbath prayer song.
Yep, I thought you meant, because Perchik and Model were both there, I thought you misinterpreted as them both wanting Zytel.
No. Perchik didn't want anybody, he just wanted to preach communism.
Fair.
His true love.
Yep. I don't see him going to jail over fucking Huddle.
He didn't. In fact, he left her alone because he doesn't care about her. He just loves communism.
And after the Sabbath prayer, we get probably one of the more fun songs in the entire show.
To life, l'chaim, 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 to life. Yes, to the father I've tried to be.
Yes, to my bride to be.
Bring l'chaim to life, l'chaim. L'chaim, l'chaim, to life. Life has a way of confusing us.
Blessing and bruising us.
Bring l'chaim to life.
I remember when things used to be fun. No, To Life is a really fun one. Although, it's kind of not fun, though, because you know that it's not going to work out.
But you get to see the growth of Tevye and Laser, which leads to one of the best lines in the entire show, which is, I've always wanted a son, but I hope that he would be a little younger than myself. Which just shows the strangeness of the traditions that they live in.
It's true, but it also breaks my heart that poor Laser still just ends up alone.
Yeah, poor Laser. He went through the matchmaker and everything. He's just gonna have to go make a lot of money killing animals all day.
I mean, that's good for him, but you feel bad. You're like, this guy's, he seemed like a nice guy. He really did.
He did. He seemed like well-intentioned. You didn't feel like he was gonna be a bad husband to Zytel.
But she just loved that, like, awkward dweeby kid, and what are you gonna do?
Mm-hmm. So she begs her father to let her marry Muddle Cum Zoil, which is the awkward dweeby kid, and he eventually relents and says, fine, you enjoy your poor, miserable life, you dumb wench. And then he has to figure out, oh no, how am I going to convince my wife that this was the right idea? Oh no!
I mean, he comes up with it pretty easily, I think. He doesn't think about it too long.
About your daughter marrying my husband.
Yes, her husband!
Would you do this to your friend and neighbor, Pruma Sarah?
Pruma Sarah!
Have you no consideration for a woman's feelings?
Woman's feelings!
Handing over my belongings to a total stranger.
Total stranger!
This is the first time you actually see Tevye use the traditions against, as a weapon, basically. He weaponizes tradition.
Is there a tradition, though? Is there a tradition that he's using as a weapon to listen to your dreams or something? Like,
listen to the matriarch, basically. It's listening to your parental figures and your ancestors. Ancestry line, basically.
But are you also supposed to listen to the dream version of them?
I mean, at a certain point, do you believe that connection to it? Like, if someone's coming to you from beyond the grave as ghosts, you listen to it.
Yeah, I suppose so. Either way, though, it was a pretty funny idea.
It's a funny idea, but it... I don't know, I'm not a huge fan of the song.
It's super goofy.
I know you love cheese. I just feel like it goes a little long, is the only thing.
It does go a little long. But I do like that it's like they have this like funny sequence. It almost feels like like they ripped it out of like Evil Dead or something.
I mean, it's got some great kooky characters in there. I love the grandmother and the grandfather, and Fruma Sarah.
Well, there's like slapstick parts of it too. There's like like the ghost is like slapping him around. Yeah, I don't know. It's funny.
It works, but I still feel like it goes a little long, and the show is really long to begin with.
You're not wrong about that. They definitely could have trimmed that a little bit.
But you know what? Every time I pull it up and I pull up that scene, I'm never bored. Like, I enjoy watching that scene full in a vacuum, but I'm not sure it works as a whole.
Yeah, keep it. We'll keep it. I'm fine with it.
So, the Russian Christians come in and they start destroying the entirety of Zytel's wedding. And Tevye is left at the end of Act 1 thinking, God, why are you so mean against your most devout followers? Why do you do this to us?
Is it bad that when he was just like kind of like doing the shocked like shrug? I was just thinking of that that meme with John Travolta where he's like got his sweater and he's like looking around.
That's Tevye throughout the entire show.
He's just like, what? Yeah.
So then Hoddle asks Tevye if she can marry her communist boyfriend, and he's like, no. And she's like, I'm not really asking permission. I'd like your blessing, but we're gonna do it anyways. And he's like, What? And then he just approves them anyways, because, you know.
Come on, Tevye, you gotta put your foot down for that kind of thing.
Nope.
You can't just let her marry a communist.
And then he gets arrested. But...
Oh, my goodness.
Hoddle's profession of love makes Tevye curious about his own love life with his own wife. And probably my favorite song in the entire show.
But do you love me?
Do I love him?
Well...
For 25 years I've lived with him, fought with him, starved with him. 25 years my bed is his. If that's not love, what is?
And you love me.
I suppose I do.
Then I suppose I love you too.
Do you love me? Do you love me?
I think that's a really cute song.
No, I think it's fun. It doesn't really have much story impact. But
it has
fun.
A thematic impact.
It's true.
Where it's interesting, where you have all these people talking about love, and Tevye hasn't even considered the idea that he might love his wife. He's not sure, because he was trapped in that arranged marriage type traditional setting.
But they do love each other, so it proves that traditions really are worth it.
And I think that's, like, one of the more cute and honest moments. And I think, especially in the film, Tuttle plays that song really well.
I think I like it. I like that part.
Mm-hmm. It's really cute, and we kind of needed, like, an honest romance where we've seen this couple at their throats the entire show. And then they finally come to, like, a, what is love, and do I actually feel it for you? I don't know.
I'm glad they didn't come to realize that they don't love each other, because I feel like that would have been it would have steered the message a little bit, like, wrong. Almost.
It would have steered it way too far in one direction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then Hoddle decides she wants to go to Siberia with her communist boyfriend, who is in prison.
Mistake. It's actually her husband, though, isn't it? Oh, no, not yet. Not yet, no. They get married in Siberia.
Yeah, they get married in Siberia. So she demands that her dad take her to the train station so she can go meet with her husband. And he's like, why are you doing this? Like, it makes no sense to me that he's demanding that you go up there. She's like, he didn't demand anything. I want to go. And she sings probably one of the more heartbreaking songs, aside from the following one, Far From the Home I Love, where she describes, like, yeah, I love home, I love my family and all them, but I very much love this man too, and for some reason I am feeling drawn to go with him.
Oh, what a melancholy choice this is, wanting home, wanting him, closing my heart.
How long do you think that marriage lasts, and then how long do you think she was stuck in Siberia with no one?
It depends on how long it took for them to freeze to death.
Because I'm going to say that marriage would have lasted, like, 2 years at the most.
When you don't believe in true love?
Not with a revolutionary like that.
So you believe in true love with Zeidel and Model, but not with them?
I think that they actually, Zeidel and Model, that works. I think Perchik is a revolutionary, so he's a little too impulsive. It's just not going to work out.
He thinks women and men should dance together. Fuck.
He was a little crazy. Don't we all know that men should dance together, not women.
Yeah, I danced with several men all the time down at Skins.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But you think marrying a communist revolutionary in Siberia is whack? Wait till you hear what Hava did.
Oops.
She snuck out and converted to Christianity and married a Christian boy.
Daddy, Jesus came in my heart.
Gross.
Gross.
When I said aim for the chest, that's not what I meant.
I'm gonna say I'm with Tevye on this.
Really?
Just saw my initial reaction to this happening.
It was just a bunch of no's. A variation of no's in caps lock.
You know what? Come on. Like, come on! Like, you gotta be kidding me. You're gonna go out and marry both this guy and Jesus at the same time? Like, you can't. Like, come on. No. No, 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 no.
And Tevye takes no time in banishing her from the family altogether.
I mean, she was always the odd duckling, too. She's like a ginger. Like, come on.
Tevye, you know that wasn't your kid.
he's known all along. And now it's, like, obvious.
Finally,
you know?
Has the excuse.
Little bird, little Havilah, you were always such a pretty little thing, everybody's favorite child. Gentle and kind and affectionate, what a sweet little bird you were.
But it leads Tevye to sing the song Little Bird, aka Havilah, which I adore this song, which he sings it like he's singing it at her funeral. It literally could be a funeral song about this daughter that died.
That's how he sees it, though.
That it is. She's dead to me.
I mean, she betrayed him in a way that she must have known would be just too much.
She even brought it up to him, and he was very relatively understanding about it. He's like, I understand that this is how you feel, but a frog and a bird could very much care for each other, but where would they build a home?
I mean, and you gotta think of it, too. At this time, all the Christians that he knows are destroying his town, are kicking him out of his country. Like,
do you think before Zeidel's wedding, he would have been more open to it?
Maybe. Probably not, but maybe. A little more open.
That's interesting. But I find it interesting to think if these Christians had been kinder to this community, like, what could have grown out of it?
Yeah, but, I mean, she betrays his faith, she betrays his trust, she goes behind his back with it. Like, come on, you know? She's dead to me, too.
Papa, I beg you to accept us.
Accept them? How can I accept them? Can I deny everything I believe in? On the other hand, can I deny my own child? On the other hand, how can I turn my back on my faith, my people? If I try to bend that far, I will break. On the other hand, there is no other hand. No, Hammer. No. No!
Papa.
No!
Well, good thing you just lost a daughter, because we gotta do some traveling. They get this notice that they have to be sent away from Anatevka, their home, because, yep, they gotta take, they're taking over this land. Fuck y'all, get out.
You know, it just feels like you have this opening song where he talks about how important tradition is to him, and just throughout the entire musical, it's just slowly traditions get ripped away from him over and over and over, until finally he just loses the whole fucking town, and the whole, everything he knows is gone.
The fiddler like, falls guy, off the roof.
This guy! I mean, he at the end, he's not on the roof anymore, is he?
Yes.
This poor guy. I feel so bad for poor Tevye.
Tevye is one of the most, like, empathetic characters in musical history. Like, he just goes through the shit, and even the musical has tamed down what happens to him. Like, this is the best, better version of what his life ends as.
So what actually happens? What's the real end to his story?
In the books, like, his entire family dies and he's left alone.
Oh my god. No.
And then they sing a really, like, mournful song about Anatevka, about their life and all that. And Tevye and Laserwolf, despite all the disagreements, share a hug before they all go in their separate ways.
Old Laserwolf was never really mad about anything. He was disappointed and he was upset and he felt betrayed. But I don't think he was ever...
I love how he has to go to that wedding, because it would be way more weird if he didn't go because the community's so small.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I feel like he wanted to go because I think he really did love that girl, so he just wants her to be happy.
Like, I think he cared about Zytel's happiness, but he thought that she valued funds more than she did love.
Yeah.
Which makes sense in a lot of ways in a economically, like, trampled world that they live in.
Well, I mean, yeah, the guy with the money, like, who wouldn't want to be with him? I'd marry him.
Right. And then the show ends with Tevye and his traditions going off to America to figure out what their life leads for them next.
I think he becomes a taxi driver.
I think he'd be a good taxi driver is the thing.
He'd be a great taxi driver. Until his car goes lame.
He'd probably still end up being a milkman.
I'm bringing the milk!
I don't think there's any milkmen in New York.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt you in the middle of the podcast, but we're here to shill at you! Yay!
That's my favorite thing to do. That's my game.
All right, please subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review. It's our way of getting viewed and getting up there on the new and noteworthy list. We really want that. Also, find us on Spotify, Stitcher, and all the other podcast websites.
Check us out on Twitter at Cheesy Musicals.
On Instagram at Musical Theater Lives.
YouTube, Musical Theater Lives.
And please, if you have any questions, recommendations, thoughts, or just anything that you want to say at us, email us at musicaltheaterlives@gmail.com. We always read them and we will respond. We'll probably respond to them on the show. Also, a reminder that we are currently having a raffle for anyone that is going to leave us a review on iTunes. If you leave a review, you'll be automatically put into a raffle for a $20 Amazon gift card. So if you leave a review, you have a chance to win.
And you're very likely to win, because there's barely any reviews. Just letting you know.
Exactly. So thank you for listening, and let's you back to it.
I belong in Anatevka. Tumble down, work a day on Anatevka. Dear little village.
All right, Andrew, I got a question for you. All right?
What do you got? Yeah.
All right, so we got the three brides. We got Zytel, Hoddle, and Hava. Which bride would you ask Tevye permission to marry?
Zytel.
Really? Why Zytel?
She seems the most down-to-earth and reasonable.
Would you convert to Judaism for her?
I would chop off the tip of my penis for her any day of the week.
I think I'm a Hoddle fan. I like the fact that she's kind of into revolutionaries.
Jess considers himself a revolutionary.
I'm a resolutionary.
Jess, did you vote for Bernie Sanders, Jess? Oh, man. I'll pat you on the back. Hang on.
I voted for Che Guevara in both of the 2016 elections.
They're, oh, Jess the revolutionary.
Ah, vive la France! But no, I just kind of liked Hoddle. She felt like one of the more willing to stray away from the belief. Like, not so far as Hava. Not as far as Hava, but willing to, like...
Okay. Was Pershing, was he a Jew?
Yeah, he was.
Really?
Yeah, he was.
He didn't wear the little thing, so I didn't know if he was or not.
He had the hat on and a beard.
Did he have the hat?
Yeah, he had the hat.
I don't remember that.
No, he did. Like,
I thought he wore more than the normal hat, like that the Christians were wearing.
No, he wore the Tevye, like kind of like newsboy hat.
Yeah, that's what I thought he wore.
Yeah, and that was the same hat Tevye wore.
That's the same hat some of the Christians were wearing, though.
Yeah, he was 100% Jewish. He was just revolutionary Jewish.
He didn't wear the little undergarments.
The prayer shawl?
Yeah.
One of the characters I think is really nuanced that doesn't get a bunch of attention is His Majesty, as Tevye calls him. I don't quite know his real name, but the one with the mustache in the movie. The one Christian.
The one that looks like Stalin?
Yeah, basically Yosef Stalin, Tevye's buddy Yosef Stalin.
He's the closest we had to, like, an actual villain, I would say.
And he's still pretty nice.
He's nice, but doesn't it get to a point where when you're following orders that force you to be so cruel that you, you know, stop following those orders and quit your job, you know? True. What'd you think of the rabbi? What did you think of him?
The rabbi has probably one of my more favorite scenes in the entire film version of it that's, like, not in the stage show.
Is that him dancing or him?
Him at his temple, gathering his Torah together and leaving, sobbing. Like, leaving his place of worship. Like, that is so depressing and quiet.
Yeah. Feel bad for him.
Mm-hmm. And he just looks huggable. Like, you could hug that rabbi.
He wouldn't want you to touch him, though. You're a dirty Christian.
So let's talk about the film to wrap things up.
Traditions, traditions. Without our traditions, our lives would be as shaky as a fiddler on the roof.
The stage show was adapted into a film in 1972, and it was directed by Norman Jewison and starred Chaim Topol as Tevye, which was a controversial decision since Zero Mostel, who was a very big name, was in the original Broadway cast as Tevye, and he feels like he was kind of snubbed in bringing it from stage to screen.
If I were a rich man, all day long I'd be. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a pretty rich,
he's just too big and bombastic, whereas Topol is very real and grounded. I feel like he would have been, like, way too out there with it, flamboyant and fabulous.
Yeah, and I don't know, I can't see anyone other than the person playing him as that character.
And I agree with you, more or less, because, like, even when I saw it live on stage when it came touring, I saw Topol in it.
Who else could do it that well? I don't think anyone else could.
It's very few films, like, characters from stage that I just see as that character. Except for Topol as Tevye. That is that character in my mind. And I've seen a lot of great actors like Danny Bernstein and Alfred Molina play Tevye, and all of them just don't feel as right for the role as Topple does. And while here I'm going to go into some problematic territory, trigger warning, sexual assault, Topple might even be a terrible person. So I've, to the surprise of literally no one, I have read Patti LuPone's autobiography.
I don't know who that is, but okay.
You will. You will soon, Andrew. just you wait.
I'm sure.
And she was in a production of The Baker's Wife with Topple, and they were developing the show together. And apparently, Topple would go up to women, grab their breasts to see how much meat was on their bones, had sex with, and it's blurry whether or not it was consensual, with a bunch of chorus girls just coming out of his room, like, half naked and flustered and all that. And as well, he had a vendetta almost against the creatives and would just go out on stage and sing gibberish because he didn't like the lyrics he was given to paying audiences.
Oh, man.
Which is unprofessional, assault, and just kind of shitty. And while this is all Patti LuPone's account, I don't see many people jumping up to defend whether or not it was true.
I think that, yeah, in situations, you gotta just separate the artist from the
art. That's hard. It really is. A lot of times. It really is. And even if this is true, it wasn't true at the time of the film, and it shouldn't affect the creatives behind the film and the development of that. The directors, the caterers, and all that. It shouldn't. Their work shouldn't be unappreciated because someone happened to be an asshole after the film was done. So, Andrew, Fiddler on the Roof, what are your overall thoughts and your cheese rating?
Okay, I'm going to say that I really enjoyed it. It was quite long, but I think that it was still a very enjoyable watch. And if you haven't seen it, I do recommend it. Absolutely. And for a cheese rating, I'm going to give it some kosher cheese. I don't know what kinds of cheese are kosher, but something like that, you know?
All right, and I think quite similar thoughts. I think Fiddler on the Roof is one of the very few perfect musicals that if they ever try to remake the film, I might get a little more than violent. I think it is altogether amazing and hard to complain about. So, yeah. So, thank you guys for listening to our show. We got some great stuff coming up. Thank you for sticking around. Please, if you could subscribe to us on iTunes, we're also on Spotify, Stitcher, and all other podcast platforms. We're on Twitter at Cheesy Musicals, Instagram at Musical Theater Lives. Our YouTube page is Musical Theater Lives. Shoot us an email at musicaltheaterlives@gmail.com. Our title card is created by Jolene Casco. Please follow her on Instagram at Jolene Casco. She's amazing. Also, we're still running the contest for reviews on iTunes. So if you can get your reviews in, we're going to choose randomly by episode 15, and we're going to pick one of you guys to win a $25 Amazon gift card. So that'll be fun.
It's going to be a blast, Jess. It's really going to be great. I can't wait to see what they spend that $25
on. Have to send it to us. Let us know. All right, Andrew. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time. I'm Jess.
And I'm Andrew.
And this was Musicals with Cheese.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.